bless you today. Thank you, praise team, and those who serve, our ushers and teachers. We just appreciate your work in the Lord. Today, we're going to be in the book of Psalms. We're going to be talking about Psalm 139. Psalm 139, a familiar psalm. So if you could turn to Psalm 139, that would be great. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 15. Psalm 139, 1 through 15. There may be a Bible under your seat, somewhere around you. Would you get Mr. Calvin there a Bible, please? Bible. I'm not sure what page it's on in that Bible, but.
Psalm 139?
Yeah.
433.
Page 433 in that, in the Bible, Antioch Bible. For those of you who probably weren't here yesterday, you heard I had a little weekend vacation at University Hospital. Wasn't real good, but I was really sick when I got admitted to the hospital last week. And so I'm much better than I was. I'll tell you a little bit about it as I go through the sermon. But I'm glad to be here today. Amen. Glad to be back today. And God is really doing some things in my life as far as my health is concerned. And so that is truly a blessing. When you have Psalm 139, please stand to your feet. We're going to read from the Word of God. Beginning at verse 1 through 15. This is a psalm written by David. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. If your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the saints who are here. Thank you, God, that we can know you through your word, know you through nature, know you, God, through the goodness of the things that you do. We thank you, God, for just blessing this congregation, God. God, we thank you, God, for those who are here, even though, God, there are things going on in their lives that might want to keep them away. But, Father, they're here anyway. And so we thank you and we bless you. We pray, God, that your word would not return to you void as it's spoken. We pray, God, that you would fill our hearts. And God, that we would not leave this place the same way that we came in, but that we would leave encouraged, knowing that we serve a good God, an awesome God, a wonderful God, a God who's matchless in everything that he does. In Jesus' name, let everyone say, amen. 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 Please be seated. Psalm 139 is one of the psalms called the imprecatory psalms. Imprecatory psalm, because it at the end we didn't read this part of the psalm, but if you look at about verse 20 19. If you look at about verse 19 through the end of the psalm, you'll see that we get a glimpse into David's thoughts about his enemies. And so he wants God to pronounce judgment on his enemies. He's not going to do it himself, but we get a glimpse into his mind about how he feels about those who speak against God with evil intent. And so he wants God to what? He says, if only God, you would slay the wicked. Now, I was telling you all a couple of weeks ago when I was up here that, you know, sometimes when people do things to you or you experience personal suffering or even people who experience national suffering, sometimes if you look and you think about what your thoughts are, you might be surprised at the fact that you want God to take out vengeance on those folks. And you may not do it yourself, but the thought sometimes is there. And so we get a glimpse into what David thinks. There are about, maybe roughly 10 imprecatory psalms that have this kind of theme somewhere in the psalm, that David wants God to just take care of those who are wicked. And he's so upset with those who speak against God. We have a whole lot of that today, don't we? So David, he summarizes his understanding of God, and he dismisses the sayings and behaviors of the wicked. He wishes that God would destroy his enemies. So I'm asking you today, have you ever been so angry with someone that you've wished for God's vengeance? Just in your heart, in your thoughts? But David trusts that God can be trusted with his heart. And so even when we might pray, even when we might talk to God, even when we might say, God, you know what? I don't like what's happening. I don't like that evil behavior. We have to still trust God with our hearts, like David trusted God with his heart. Because even when David was upset, was angry, annoyed with King Saul, he still what? Did not touch God's anointed. Amen? He did not, even though he expressed those things to God. So I just want to talk a little bit about God, first of all, because David has a lot to say about God in this psalm. And then we want to talk about the theme of the title of the sermon is called If I. So what does David say kind of in these first 15 verses? We're not going to go through all 15, but we're going to just draw some conclusions about God. First of all, he says, you've searched me, God, and you know me. This psalm not only begins with search me, but it ends with search me as well. And so I think that what David is trying to say here is that despite his circumstances, God already knows. God already knows who he is on the inside. And he's asking God, you know what, even though I may not like the behavior of those with evil intent, search me first. Search me from beginning to end to make sure that I am in your will, that I am not outside of where you want me to be. Because it's easy for us to point the fingers at somebody else and not so easy to point the finger at me. Amen? And so I think that that's what David is trying to do when he says, he opens this psalm and says, you've searched me, O Lord, and you know me. You know everything about me. So one thing that we could say is that despite our circumstances, God already knows. He already knows despite whatever it is that's going on in our lives, he already knows. How comforting is that, that God already knows what you're going through. God already knows where you're going to end up. God already knows what you need. He already knows. And then the souls. He is the creator. So the souls of all people belong to God and will come to their expected end. Amen? Their expected end. So those who are believers will come to a different end. Maybe we all will experience that physical death, but we'll all come to a different end for those who are believers and those who are not. What else about God does David say in these verses? He says, God comes before all things. He was not created. He is, as I said before, the creator. Anybody ever seen the show Chopped? The food show Chopped, where you know you had the four chefs who try to cook something crazy out of several baskets, an appetizer round. They have an entree round and a dessert round, and they try to cook something with these ingredients, and whoever doesn't do well gets what? Chopped. And so, so a lot of times when they mess up the dish, they'll call it something different, like deconstructed. Like, I'm gonna make a deconstructed sandwich, or something like that, because I'd have messed up the whole ingredients. So I'm just going to put a piece here, and a piece here, and a piece here. People do that all the time. They deconstruct food. But you know what? I'm likening that to God in a way, because people can try to deconstruct God, but he cannot be deconstructed. He cannot be broken down into parts. God is one. God is whole. So no matter what pieces people try to take, God still is whole. God still is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is one. People can try to tear God down, but since he was not created, he cannot be broken down the way we want to always break him down. God is the source of all truth, no matter what people try to make up. God is the source of all truth, no matter what people try to make up. God is in control of all creation. No amount of rebellion can cause God to relinquish his throne. God will always be on the throne, amen? There's no coup going on in heaven where people are trying to overthrow God. God will always be in control. No amount of rebellion can cause God to relinquish his throne. He will always be on his throne. People might overthrow government, but God cannot be overthrown, no matter what it looks like. No matter what people try to do, what they say, God cannot be overthrown. God is the perceiver of all thoughts. Again, he knows what they are before they happen. Aren't you glad sometimes that he does? That things don't always look the way the thought wants to do it. Because God knows beforehand what is going to happen. And according to his will, he directs things and thwarts things and stops things. And sometimes he lets things go forward. It just depends on what his will is for that particular situation. God is light in the day and in the darkness. God is light in the day and in the darkness. Isn't that interesting? It's great when it's light and you can see. But I can tell you, the other night, I don't know what was happening. The wind was blowing or something, and all of these noises was happening in the house. And I was like, what the heck is that noise? You know? Darkness kind of brings about its own issues. And sometimes we find ourselves in the midst of what? Darkness. But even though we are in the midst of darkness, God is still light for us in the midst of darkness. Even when we can't see our way through, God still is light. Amen? He still is light. You have to know that and trust that and believe that, because all the time you can't see. All the time I can't see. But God is always light, because that is who he is. There's nothing that can kind of stamp out God. There's nothing that can shut him out. Darkness cannot shut him out. It might shut me out, but it can't shut God out. What else do I know about me, about you, from these set of verses? I know that I didn't evolve from the cosmos. I'm not an extension of a fish or an extension of some other animal. That God created me, created you, formed intricately and specially. in heaven and then inside our mother's wombs. We become co-creators with God. He allowed that to happen. And so we were intricately designed and carefully made by God, every single one of us. What else do I know? There's no place I am where God is not. There's no place I am where God is not. Isn't that important for us to know? There's no place that I can go where God is not. There's no direction that I can go in where God does not know my destination. No direction that I can go in where God does not know my destination. Lastly, God's character is in me. And no one and nothing can diminish my worth, not even me. But yet we still try to diminish who we are. But God says, I am everything that He's created me to be. And so don't let anyone diminish who you are. And don't you diminish who you are. Because God's character in you, you have a spark of the divine in you. God made you special. Anybody ever, well, we've all probably played the game hide and seek. Remember little kids, they're so funny. Especially when they're about 2 years old and you're trying to teach them hide and go seek. And you tell them go hide and so you can find them and you know where they are, right? But they don't think you know where, they don't think you know where they are. But you know exactly where they are and you come looking for them and find them every time. Well, that's kind of how God is in this psalm. There's nothing God doesn't know about you or me. And so why do we play hide and seek when God already knows? He says, search me. You know me. When I sit, when I rise, you hem me in behind and before. I mean, he's all got all these wonderful things about God that God's knowledge is too wonderful for him to even understand. So if God has all that knowledge, then why do we play hide and seek with him? Why do we think that God doesn't know? Do you know there's no one who knows you like God knows you? I don't think I want somebody to know me that well, who I sit next to. Anyway, might be some stuff I don't want him to know about me. But God knows everything. There's nothing that's hidden from him. And you know what the best thing about God is that just like David knew, at the end of the day, God loves me completely. And he loves you completely. No matter what's going on the inside, no matter who we are on the inside, God loves you completely. And there's nothing that he will discover that can drive a wedge between you and him. He loves you no matter what. No matter what. So God is with us in every situation, in every trial, protecting and loving and guiding. And this is really important because things come up in your life. Situations get hard. They're just circumstances that you don't expect. Sometimes it has to do with health or work or whatever it might be. So I've been in the Rose Hospital system for a pretty good amount of time. Here recently. You know, that's where I was treated in 2016 when I had the cancer, and that's where I was treated this year when I had that infection and couldn't walk and all that stuff, and, you know, just treated in their system. And one night, I just didn't feel well back in August, and, you know, I didn't feel like traveling to Rose because I live closer to university, actually. And so I decided, I want to go to university. I just want to go someplace close by. I didn't feel like taking that bumpy ride because I was in pain. I didn't to the middle of town to Rose Hospital. And so went there, and of course, they found that I had an infection in my colon that I probably picked up because I had so many antibiotics before that, a couple of months before. And I'm sharing this with you to let you know how God guides you. And so they kept me and gave me some more antibiotics and told me that I had an infection called C. difficile, which is a very, very, it's a bear. It just is. It just, you can pick it up anywhere. I probably picked it up from the hospital stay that I had before. And had it, couldn't believe that I had it. In fact, they said, you have that? I'm like, no, I don't. Y'all need to stop. So she said, you really are testing positive for it. And you know, it has its own set of symptoms and really makes you sick with just very unpleasant, you know, vomiting and both ends and headache and high fever, like 103 fever. And so I didn't know then how God would be guiding me. They put me on antibiotics and sent me home after a couple of days, and I finished the antibiotics and it came back after a week. So they put me on another antibiotic and I was on that for like 3 weeks, and just about 2 weeks ago it came back again. That's the third time that it's come back. It just won't quit. And it kind of overtakes part of your colon. That's where it grows and causes all the symptoms that you have. And so last weekend, I was on another little weekend trip to University Hospital for that. And I didn't realize how sick I was going in to the hospital. I didn't realize how sick I was getting. And so when I got to the hospital that night, I was almost in what you call shock. I was walking, but I was in septic shock from infection just overtaking my body, because my blood pressure was below 100 and my heart rate was way up at about 140 something. And they were like, you gotta come here now. Come in here, just, you're not going anywhere. I said, I wanna go home. And they're like, you ain't going home today. So here's the thing. You just never know what God is doing, because the procedure that I would need at University Hospital, they didn't do at Rose. And so even in my own just not knowing, God led me to a place that could give me the treatment that I needed. And so I had a procedure. I'll share it with y'all. It's experimental. It's an experimental procedure. They do it a lot now, but it's still not really, really well known. So they were going to put me on some more antibiotics, and they said, you know, we could give you something that's a little bit better than what you have been on, but we don't think it's going to be effective. We think that the infection has a good chance of coming back since it's already been three times. And so they told me, they said, we want to do a fecal transplant. I was like, what? What y'all talking about? For real? Never really heard about it, but never really read anything about it. And it's just what you think it is. In fact, Dana, you know, she come up with a name for everything. Mama, how's Operation Brownie? She's a nut. But anyhow, that's exactly what they do. It's prepared in the lab. It's donated from another person. And what it does is that it has good bacteria so that it takes over what's not good in my colon. And it has a 94% rate of cure, which is better than the oral drug. I'm just trying to tell you that God makes a way. Even when we don't know what he's doing, I didn't know what he was doing way back several months ago, but God was making a way for me, because what? He knew that this day, that day was coming. He knew what I would need. He knew that being transferred from hospital to hospital and all that kind of stuff, it just wasn't what he wanted for me. And so he had me in a place that could treat me and help me last week, Monday. And that's when the procedure was. So God is with us in every single situation, even when I can't see what he's doing. Even when you can't see what God is doing, God is there working, doing what he does, bringing things to their expected end, making sure that we're in his will and that we reach his destination. Not our destination, but his destination. That's what he does. So I feel pretty good today. I was worried. I was like, oh, this is weird. And I was trying to debate whether I was going to even share it with y'all. But it was just kind of weird, kind of strange. If you look it up, you can see that it is one of the definitive treatments now for this type of infection. Then when I was in the hospital, interesting, because you know, you're in there and you're in this hospital bed and it's kind of dark in that room. It's just dark in there. Sometimes you just don't know what's going on. Have you ever been in a place in your life where it's just dark and you just don't know what's going on? Sometimes you're praying through it, but you don't know what's going on. And so this young lady comes in the room. My room was a little bit darkened, actually. And this young lady comes in the room. I ain't never seen her before. And she just starts talking. And she says, you know, I don't know why I'm telling you this. She said, but a couple of years ago, I had a condition, she said. And she said, it affected my kidneys and affected some other things. And she said, I had an operation. And she said, and Jesus healed me. And she said, you know what? After that operation, I didn't have anything. I was healed. She said, everything came together. She said, it was like, that's all I needed, and God did a work in me. I still couldn't tell you what the lady looked like or anything like that. But she said, you know Jesus, and I'm here to encourage you. I was like, wow, Lord. Thank the Lord, it's right. I had no clue. She didn't even work on the floor. I don't even know what she was doing in my room. She worked there, of course, but I don't know what she was doing in my room, except she was sent there on a mission to encourage me. Amen. Amen. I don't even know her name. Don't even know her name, but she knew spirits connected with a spirit connected with her spirit, the Holy Spirit connected with her spirit in that room that day. And you know, some people might say to me, you know, you've been through a lot, because I feel like a punching bag. You know those punching bags where you punch them and they just get back up? That's how I feel. I punch and it comes back, and then I punch and I come back, and I punch and I come back. And some people might say, you know what? You should forget about, just put it in the past. Forget about 2016. Forget about all the events of 2017. Just forget about them. But I say this, that we need to remember what God has done. That you can't forget about the things that God has done. No matter, even if they're difficult things, you cannot forget about them and put them in the past. Because you know what? You're going to need to pull them up later on. Because you're going to need to remember all the good things that God has done. And so don't forget about stuff. Don't try to put it behind you. Just try to say, you know what, God, you are so, so good to me. I'm not going to put that in the past. I'm not going to forget about what you've done. I'm going to remember everything that you've done in my life. Because that's how we build faith and we build trust in God, by remembering what he has done. Anybody ever had a prayer answered? Amen? then you ought to remember that God and how he answered those prayers. But still, even though I feel better, I was ready to go back to work. Like, I think I got discharged on Tuesday. I was ready to go back to work on Wednesday. But the enemy is alive and well, because they wouldn't let me come back to work. Because they told me, we need a fitness for duty. This is my boss. We need to know that I don't believe you're ready to come back. Even I had a letter saying I was ready to come back. So I'm like, okay, well, what am I supposed to do? I don't agree with it, but I'll comply with it. I haven't heard from her till today. They want me to see somebody that they choose, a doctor they choose, to say that I'm okay. They don't believe my doctor. But you know what? I serve a great God. I need y'all to pray, and I'm praying too, because I ain't trying to worry about it. So I've been doing stuff on the city's dime, because I'm on paid leave. Hey. Hey, praise God, is right. Amen. I'm not having to use my own accrued time. God is still good, no matter what. So a lot of times, you know, you come out of the fire and you find yourself back in the fire. Amen. Or standing like the three Hebrew boys. You're standing there just waiting to be thrown into the fire. And what did they say? Whatever God chooses to do, we know he can. Whatever God chooses to do in your life, you ought to know he can do whatever it is that he wants to do. Because he is who he said that he is. All those things that we talked about God, you have to believe them to be true. So here I go. Wherever I go, God is there. There's nowhere for you to hide. There's nowhere for me to hide. If I go up, if I rise, if I sink, God will steady me wherever it is that I am. God will steady you wherever it is that you are. He'll steady your mind and bring you perfect peace if you let him. What does David kind of say here? David says, no matter what messes I get myself into, God is always ready to clean me up. So if I land here, or I go there, or I run here, or I run there, if I find myself in a place and I don't know how I got there, if I'm stuck, if I find myself in the throes of addiction, if I find myself in ill health, if I find myself in turmoil, if I don't know my next move, God is still there to keep me, to steady me. God is still there. He helps me to remain in him. And he won't let me be cast away from him, no matter how I feel, because you know, sometimes you just feel bad. But we can't always go by what? Feelings. You gotta go by God's word. So as I said before, if I find myself in the midst of darkness, God is light. Because when we don't know, we have to trust that God does know. That's why prayer is so important. Tell God your fears and ask him for his guidance, and ask him not to let you keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again. Praise God for who he is, and know that you're not just fearfully and wonderfully made for no reason, but you are fearfully and wonderfully made to live a life that reflects God's great creation. God is all-seeing and all-knowing and all-powerful and everywhere present. God knows us. He's with us, and his greatest gift is to allow us to know him. His greatest gift is to allow us to know him through his son, Jesus Christ. Amen? You have to trust and believe in who he is, no matter what comes up in your life, no matter what. I'm not going to say I wasn't annoyed with my boss. I was. I was trying to write this psalm at verse 19. But you know, I was like, you know what, Lord, you see me through so much. And I know that you'll see me through this because you know what, you didn't bring me this far to leave me. You know what? Some days you might get tired, but I think you just have to sing that song. I ain't in no ways tired. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me the road would be easy, but I don't believe he's brought me this far to leave me. Sometimes you just have to sing that old song over and over and over again. Keep it in your head and keep it in your heart. And you have to keep on doing and keep on getting up. Even if you get knocked down, you keep getting up. You keep trusting and keep believing. Keep hoping that God is and that God can. That he's able to do exceedingly above all things according to the power that works in us. That's who he is. Amen? Amen. Y'all ought to clap your hands. You can clap your hands. He's ever done anything for you. Just put your hands together. That's our sermon for today. If I go here, if you go there, if I, it doesn't matter. God is always, always, always there.